The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the people in the synagogue of Nazareth, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow of Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. Our first reading with the story of Naaman the Syrian, and our Gospel story of Jesus preaching to his hometown in Nazareth, two important reminders of our spiritual bedrock, that foundation upon which our entire spiritual life needs to be built, and that is the importance of finding God in ordinary things. Compare the first reading with the Gospel with me for just a second here. First reading, we hear the story of Naaman the Syrian, mighty leader of all the armies of Assyria, the most powerful nation in the whole world, but poor Naaman is struck with leprosy. But he hears that down in Israel, there's a prophet who can cure leprosy, the great prophet Elisha. And so Naaman goes down to Elisha with a mighty retinue and gifts worthy of a king, but when he arrives in the land of Israel, Elisha won't even come out of his tent to meet him. Instead, he just sends a messenger, a servant, with a simple message. "Go wash in the River Jordan, you'll be just fine." And Naaman takes offense at the ordinariness of it all. He's about to go back home. If not for the intervention of a few servants, where he decides to trust in the ordinary, wash in the Jordan, and there he discovers the God of Israel, in obedience to ordinary things. Now contrast that with the story of Jesus here in his hometown in Nazareth. And he stands up to preach in the synagogue, and you can imagine the power and the might of his words, and people, for some reason, turn to one another and say, "Hey, wait a minute, who is this guy? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Don't we know his relatives? Don't we know his friends?" And they say they took offense at him. In other words, they took offense at his ordinariness. And Jesus got up and left. Imagine what good things Jesus might have done for them. Imagine. But unlike Naaman, they would never find out because they couldn't find God in ordinary things. Remember back in the monastery, one of the monks said, "You can make more progress in holiness in one single day of attentiveness to God in the ordinary events in your life than you can in an entire year of fasting and wearing a hair shirt." That's because ordinariness is the place in which God has placed you. Holiness just consists in God's will. Your will and God's will in perfect parallel. That's all holiness is. And God has placed you in these circumstances. That's why he's found more than anything else right here. Two big misunderstandings that people have with regard to holiness. Two big misunderstandings. First is that you're holy because of all the things that you don't do. If that were the case, you could become a saint just by sitting in your room all day. Holiness is a lot more than just avoiding sin. Sometimes the people will kind of brag to the priest. They'll say, "Father, I'm a good person. It's not like I killed anybody, you know." As if God on the judgment day is going to ask you about all the things you didn't do. It's a big misunderstanding. Just don't avoid sin, suddenly you're a saint, right? Don't drink, don't smoke, you're holy. Not so. The other big misunderstanding And this is the one that I want to draw your attention to, is that holiness always consists in extraordinary things. And you know that it consists in ordinary things. So let me just give you three little helps today. Three little helps to find God right now, today. Here's the first. Always keep in the forefront of your mind that we live up to a divine standard, not a human standard. You live under a constant temptation to compare yourself with other people and say such things in your mind as, well, I might not be perfect, but at least I'm not as bad as him. Usually somebody on TV, right? Some celebrity. I might not be perfect, but at least I'm not that bad. Don't give in to that temptation. That's the way the Pharisees used to think. We have one standard and one standard only against which we're going to be judged. That's the standard of Christ. It's a great source of humility to remember that. That's the first thing, divine standard. Here's the second. Everywhere the saints went, they exuded goodness. Now, don't moan in the depths of your spirit that you can't exude goodness, that you can barely crack a smile. Just give what good you can. You know, a wise man, only a wise man can give wisdom, and only a learned man can give knowledge, and only a saint can reflect Christ everywhere they go. But in your day-by-day living, do not let the good that you are unable to do prevent you from doing what good you can. It's another little thing to remember in keeping God in ordinary things. The third is remember the importance of surrender. In the physical world, fights are won by your brawn and by your might. In the spiritual world, fights are won by your surrender to God. If you want to know what it means to surrender to God, one of the greatest helps I've ever known is a quote from St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. Surrender to God means doing what God wills in the way God wills, for as long as God wills, because God wills. Do what he wills, in the way that he wills, for as long as he wills it, because he wills it. And if you want to know the simplest of all ways to surrender, just say a glory be. And it doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter whether you feel revulsion as you say it. But in all the events of life, learn to just, by the sheer force of your own will, just praise God for what happens. Flight delay, glory be to the Father. Traffic jam, glory be to the Father. Hangnail, glory be to the Father. Lost luggage, glory be to the Father. Head cold, glory be to the Father. Bad hair day, glory be to the Father. Learn to say yes to God by the simplest way possible. Praise him for what comes to pass. I remember back in the seminary, there was one of the seminarians, he ended up leaving. But he used to brag about how he was going to be a martyr. He said, I'll take a bullet for the Lord. But he wouldn't do his homework. He was barking up the wrong tree. And occasionally, yes, God does ask you to do great things for him. But you want to know what's interesting? The people who say yes to God in great things are the very same people who have learned to say yes in the humble, ordinary things that fill up most of our days. If it seems ordinary, if it seems plain, probably comes straight to heaven to you. For the grace to be able to see that, let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Francis of Rome, pray for us.